to our first Survivor recap in a long time. And here with me today, I have the lovely Janet Carbon from Survivor. So, who stands out to you in this cast and why?
Welcome to the Wheel With It podcast with your host, Devin. Let's get into the episode.
Hello, welcome to our first Survivor recap in a long time. And here with me today, I have the lovely Janet Carbon from Survivor 39. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. How are you, Janet?
I am thrilled to be here and I am doing well. And I'm looking forward to our recap.
Just for the people, we don't have to talk about the obvious elephant in the room, but how have you been doing since Survivor?
I have been doing very well. I am fully retired. And with that, I am involved with a charity called Give Kids the World. And I host watch parties. I just hosted one for the premiere of 45. And I'll host another one for the premiere of 46 here in Florida. So people come, buy a ticket, come to our watch party. And all that money goes to this wonderful organization that hosts critically ill children and their families for a week, all for free.
That is awesome. So getting into the recap, what did you think of these first two episodes?
I've been giving this a lot of thought. Where are you looking specifically to get my thoughts?
Just like overall, like how did you feel? And then we'll get into that.
Overall, I was surprised at a lot of the tears, I should say. A lot of tears way early in the game.
So what do you make of the whole Hannah situation?
The whole Hannah situation. My feeling is that at that point in the game, to break that early, I know that there's a lot of other people that feel, oh, they understand that there's a pregame, and this is all true. You're in pregame for a week. You can't talk to anybody. You're sleeping in tents. And you don't know what's really going on. You're trying the game size things up while you're at Ponderosa when you're silence. And then you get to the island and reality sets in. But I don't know. For me, I was mentally prepared for that. I think that there's a lot of people that have waited their whole life to get onto Survivor. And there was a moment when Tommy and I were standing on the beach. There was a moment. It was at day, I think, 34. We had day 26 and day 34, I think it was. It rained for 17 hours straight. And you're tired and you're hungry and you're lack of sleep. But this is like 26 and 34 days into the game, not two. And we stood there and we said, now I can understand how somebody could mentally break. We did. We said we could understand it. However, that was not going to happen. So it was just, it's just a mindset, I think, going into the game that older survivors or people that prepare differently are mentally prepared differently.
Yeah. And I don't think anything can prepare you for that. But honestly, I respect Hannah, but there were so many people wanting to take that spot and it made me angry. I was like, hey, I'll take it.
I could imagine the frustration that people who sent in their applications to try and get on felt when they saw that.
Yeah, but we wish her the best. Don't leave negative reviews on her business or whatever y'all are doing.
No, I'm not faulting her. Everybody has their limit. Everybody has their level. And that goes for anything. I'm surprised. You asked me my opinion on the season. A lot of it is I'm surprised at all the tiers at that point in the game.
So why are you surprised by the tiers? Because it's a very emotional game.
Just that early. I'm surprised at that. It's just me personally. I'm not saying I don't understand it, but I'm surprised that early.
Is it like, you can speak to this, is it like an adrenaline rush? And is that why you don't even try the first 2 days? Because you're like, I'm on Survivor.
Yeah, when you get on that island or they're jumping off the boat, which I was like really sad. I didn't get to do that.
I'm a little squeamish of height, so I'd be like, Jeff, please give us a beach swimmer name. But with my luck, I'd if I were able to go on there, I'd get the one where you jump off the boat.
Yeah, I wanted to jump off the boat. I was all prepared to jump off the boat, and that didn't happen. But yeah, you're on an adrenaline high. While you're at Ponderosa, most people eat a little bit more because you never know when you're not going to be able to eat. So you have, I don't know. It's just, I'm not condemning her, but it's just, it's surprising.
Is that a good idea for people to eat more or?
No, there's different schools of thought. I put a lot of weight on. Some people go into a starvation, so their body gets used to not eating. It really, I don't know.
That's what I would have to do because my body would need to get used to my muscles functioning without much food.
Right. And that's a big problem. When like people, you can be sitting on the couch watching the challenges.
Eating pizza.
Yeah, but... saying, oh, I could do that. But when you get into a challenge and you've been food and sleep deprived, it's different because your mind starts going.
So who stands out to you in this cast and why?
Drew is my winner pick.
Why Drew?
I have certain things that I look for. A very intelligent nerd, and I love that. And he's a redhead. My husband's a very intelligent redhead nerd. So that's why I was attached to Tommy. He was a redhead at first and we got that happening. No, I think that Drew is smart. And I think that smart people go very far in Survivor.
Yeah, I think Drew is, I think what he said in the premiere was true, that he is objectively one of the smartest people that's ever been on Survivor because he's a bright one up top there.
Yeah.
He had a bachelor's and now he's in Rhodes Scholar at Oxford. That's crazy. What do you think about Lulu Lemons, as we lovingly call them? What do you think about Lulu?
What do you think about him? I want to hear some of your opinions.
I mean, they're a great tribe. Okay. They're great people, but I just think that they got off on to the wrong foot because they had some interesting dynamics with Hannah. And as much as I love them, they had some interesting dynamics with Hannah. And as much as I love them, Brandon held them back in the challenges. So I think they're good now, but I think they got off to a rocky start.
Yeah, I think that losing Hannah really hurt them. Brandon would have been okay if he would have come through on the maps, on the puzzles. His tribe was willing to keep him, I think. His problem was, even though he did poorly physically, they were open to him performing in another area and he didn't.
Yeah, and Brandon's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just when she get out there, like your brain goes into another mode and you're just like, I can't tell which way's up.
Yeah.
So what about Reba? What do you think of Reba? I think they're the strongest tribe on the island. I think they've got a great amount of strategic players. Sifu is a beast. Did you see him punching through that tree?
I think that's kind of weird though. That would be weird to me on the island to see somebody do that.
I think he was just like messing around though, but still.
You're being very kind. I'm talking like a survivor sitting on the island. That I'd be like, what is that all about?
Oh, like from a game standpoint.
Yes. Like, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, from a game standpoint, he probably should have done that, but it was fantastic TV.
Yeah, so. I'm talking strictly from game standpoints. As far as people, they're all probably awesome people, everybody. And I can't wait to get to meet each and every one of them. And I hope I get to do that at Hearts of Reality. And that's different. Gameplay and people is different. I'm talking gameplay.
Yeah, from a gameplay standpoint, you'd probably be like, we need to vote them out. And what do you think of the Blue Tribe? I forgot their name. What do you think?
They're Bello, yeah.
What do you think of...
I think they're an interesting tribe. I think Bruce is definitely...
Oh my gosh, Bruce is rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. I love Bruce, but Bruce needs to tone it down.
Yeah, he's definitely has an advantage. Emily was right when she called him out on it. Not that she should have called him out on it, but he does have an advantage having been through the process.
Do you really think 12 hours in the actual Survivor game is an advantage? You probably know better than me, but...
That's what I'm talking about. There's a whole week of pregame. So yeah, I think that starts getting your mind mentally and all that physically. You're on Ponderosa for 5 days getting ready. Yeah, so I think that was, he had an advantage. And that adrenaline rush when you get off to the boat or whatever, yeah. I think he needs to tone it down, though.
Yeah. So we have the new idols in these episodes where they're in like a wax candle and they have to be burned. What did you think about that? Did you like it? Did you dislike it?
I haven't figured out whether I like it or dislike it yet.
And I have to give props to the art department because when they had to cut that thing in the tree and the coconut came down, I said, oh my gosh, that is like my 8-year-old dream. So that's the dream of every kid watching at home. So good job to the art department. But
the art department is incredible.
Yeah, the art department is the idol designs. Every time I think they can't get better, it's okay, that one's better.
Yeah, and the sets, they're just unbelievable.
Yeah. What do you think about, and what do you think about the more complex idol finds in general?
I like that it's more complex. I like that it's not as easy.
So did you think in your season that it was generally too easy to get advantages and find idols or?
No.
Okay.
No, I hunted every day and no, it wasn't easy.
Okay. But
you had to look.
Because a lot of Survivor alumni are like, these kids today, they have it so easy finding idols. And I'm like, no.
No, I don't think so.
What do you think that Austin should do? How do you think people should handle advantages in general in the new era? Should they tell people? Should they not tell people?
It's always best not to. It's always best not to tell. That's the other thing that's really surprising me. I can't believe how many people they've told who's found what. They should have just kept it all quiet. That's my opinion.
Yes, I tend to agree with you, but I have a big mouth, so I'd probably tell people. Mm-hmm. So who do you think is going to play their advantages the best of the people that have them?
I don't know. Who has what?
The Drew has a safety without power. Austin has a beware. Sabaya has a beware.
I've got to go with Drew because he's my winner pick. So he's going to have to, he'll play it correctly. Yeah.
What do you think about the journey? Do you think the players handled that well?
What do you mean?
Do you think that's a bad question. Do you think they made the most of their, like, do you think that Brandon should have risked his vote? Or do you think that Bruce should have risked his vote? Or, yeah.
I would probably say yes. Here's the question. Some people go on Survivor for a Survivor experience. And some people go on Survivor to play the game. I play the game. And I think if you're going to be on Survivor, you need to play the game.
Yeah, I would go on for both, honestly.
Yeah.
So who do you think got the tightest alliance of the alliances that we've seen? Do you think the women's alliance is going to stick?
Women's alliances rarely stick. I think the red team is the tightest team. The reason, I don't know if I would pick the tightest, say I could say what alliance is tighter, but what I will say is, like, when I was on Vokai and we were winning all the challenges, it wasn't because we had better athletes. It was because we were united emotionally. And I see that with the red team. The red team is united as a group. And I think that's why they're going to do well. Once it comes to either a swap or a merge, the people on that team could get really screwed because if they get swapped the wrong way, then you're done.
So who do you think is going to do the best at a merge situation based on where we are right now?
Oh, it's so early to tell right now. It's the people that usually do the best are the people that are in the middle.
Yeah, the middle ones. Yeah.
The middle ones. Because the people at the bottom, everybody tells who they are. And the people at the top, you can just tell who they are. It's the people in the middle that find their voice if they have that opportunity.
So do you think that there was anything that Brandon, I know we're jumping around, but do you think there was anything that Brandon could have done to save himself?
Yeah, done better at the puzzles. Had he done better at the puzzles, he would still be there. I'm convinced.
So do you think Brandon lost his vote in the journey? You don't think that would have mattered, do you? Because they would have voted
him
out anyways? Okay.
No.
What do you think of Emily's transformation?
I think that it's awesome for her as a person. And I think she really didn't realize how abrasive and abrupt she comes off. And I think that this is going to be a true life, a positive life aspect that she's going to come out of Survivor with, no matter where she is, that she needs to really look at herself and how she interacts with people. So I'm hoping that she does well.
Yeah, and I could relate to it a little bit because I tend to do that with some people as well. And I don't realize like how demanding I should come off until they were like, wow, you're awfully like demanding today. And I'm like, I didn't mean to be that way. So I can totally get it. What do you think about Drew really coming alongside Emily and helping her through? Do you think Drew saved Emily's game or do you think it would have been the same?
I think it would have been the same. I'm telling you, I'm liking Drew. I like the way he's interacting and he's observing and
Caleb.
I thought that was heartfelt. I thought that he's going to play the game, but he stepped it aside from the game, I think. But it might benefit him the way his discussion went.
So who do you think's going to tribal council next? And who do you think is the next boot?
I think if it's Lulu, it's going to be Emily.
Yeah.
I think something's going to happen before that, though. And I think, I don't know. It depends upon which tribe you're looking at. I think that Julie could be in trouble just because she's the older woman and that's what happens. Unless she steps her game up with the other people that we don't see, that could be happening. From the Bello tribe, Bruce could be in trouble.
Yeah, I think he's leaning too much into the Funkle Bruce.
The fun uncle is not really so fun.
Yeah, when you're starved and
it gets old, you know?
Yeah, so I know Drew's your Winnipeg, but who's your final three at this point?
I didn't pick any yet. Do you want me to look at that? These are the people I like. I really am looking. I think it's Austin. I really like him. I really like Sabaya. I'd like to see her go to the end. I really like her. And I'm not sure. I'd like to see Brando go far. I like Sean also. I don't know. I'll just go with those two.
Okay. And
or three. That was three. Yeah.
Yeah. About the shot in the dark, can you speculate on whether if you give somebody a shot in the dark and then the person who gave it to you gets voted out, and you have two shots?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the rules are on that.
And what was the old Survivor sit out rule, and how is it different from the new one?
I like the new rule. I really like the new rule. The old rule was, I don't think you could sit out back-to-back challenges, but you could sit out back-to-back, like if it was a reward or an immunity challenge.
So you couldn't sit out back-to-back
immunity.
But you could sit out back-to-back reward immunity, and now you can't. Okay, right. I need a clarification on that, because I was like, wasn't it that way before?
No, I really like it. I like that rule.
Yeah. How do you like the, I know we're going on with this, but how do you like the 90-minute episodes?
Oh, I'm all about it. I wish we had it all the time.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you want to make sure that we...
No, other than please tell your listeners that I'll be hosting a watch party in March at Beachfly in Rockledge, Florida. And all of the proceeds go to Give Kids the World. If you go to Hearts of Reality, www.givekidstheworld.org, you'll see Hearts of Reality. You can pull all the information up in my page. And we also will be hosting a huge Hearts of Reality in December out at Orlando, Florida.
Okay. And that will be amazing. And I wish I could be there, but I can't. But I will be at one of them. I promise. I will be at one of them one of these days.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. I know we were all over the place.
It's fine.
So I thought I remembered more than I did. I need to take notes in the future when we do these. So please bear with us. Our Survivor Recaps will get better.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to follow the show and our guests on social media and subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app using the links in the show notes. Please remember to rate and review us. See you next time.